Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Peter Boehm has had a 35 career in consumer products, tech, and disruptive market solutions. Starting in the early 1990s, Peter led a $500 million division at Office Depot, where he introduced personal computers to retail. By 1995, he co-founded one of the first cloud services companies moving into the digital space ahead of the curve. In the late 90s, he disrupted the music industry by empowering artists to monetize their work at Earthlink's entertainment division. After a lengthy entrepreneurial career in 2015, Peter's passion for cannabis led him to a pioneering role in alternative medicine, initially as a distributor of Charlotte's Web cannabis strain. He soon transitioned to developing cannabinoid-based formulations. Peter is relocating to Germany and launching Jawidi, a unique cannabis business model integrating member-based grow operations and compassion clubs. I asked him to tell us about it today. Welcome, Peter, to Cannabis Radio.
Well, thank you kindly, Vivian. It's my pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to having this in-depth discussion about all the really cool stuff that we're doing with respect to Yahweedy and talk about our path. Yahweedy, that's right.
My next question was going to be, did I pronounce that correctly? Yahweedy, got it.
Well, so I'll tell you, Yahweedy is a mashup. So I'm originally from Germany, but I sold my accent for beer money in college. But, you know, Yah is yes in German. Weed, of course, is weed. And then D-E, because it's spelled J-A-W-E-E-D-E, capital D and E. And so it's basically an amalgamation of, yes, weed in Germany.
Okay, well, bear with me. I'm going to go through what I, just for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to go through a quick description of, and then you let me know if this is off base or if you have anything that you would like to add for background to our conversation today. Blockchain is a digitalized, decentralized public ledger and collection of digital information or blocks stored across a network of computers, resulting in a database. When verifiable transactions occur, that information is stored in blocks, which are added to the chain when they're full. Cryptocurrency operates through the blockchain, and it is also a decentralized digital system. It's called crypto because the digital or virtual currency uses cryptography for security and is not the property of any particular authority, making it challenging for governments to manipulate.
You know what? I'm going to give you a rock-solid A+. Well, you know, and look, at the end of the day, it's very challenging, especially when you think about crypto and where we're at relative to, you know, its prominence or proliferation, you know, globally. If you think about it, only 4% of the world's population actually are involved in crypto, even though the media probably would make one assume that it's 80% or higher. But, you know, the only thing I would add to it is that, you know, crypto is truly a digital money that exists online. And of course, it's not controlled by governments or banks. So, you know, and it's funny, if you look at the net profile of the typical crypto user, primarily it's 18 to 24. So Vivian, you're just on the cusp of getting out of that group. And, you know, and it's interesting because it's kind of divergent in the sense that half of the market is libertarian folks, people who are, I don't want to say anti-government, but, you know, somewhat kind of like leave me alone. And then the other side of it are a lot of progressive people who really are adopting and embracing technology. So it's really kind of an interesting amalgamation of a youth movement. But, you know, people like cryptocurrency because it offers privacy and freedom. And then you can send money directly to someone else without going through a bank, which is faster and, of course, cheaper. And some people, you know, people invest in crypto because it can grow value over time, you know, not unlike a stock, but, you know, and it can go up and down like stocks can as well. But, you know, crypto still does have its risks, and the challenge is that to a large degree, it's kind of the Wild West. So we're,
I want to get into that. But first, yeah. Tell us about Yaweedy. What is it? Why did you decide to create it? What makes it unique?
So Yaweedy is really a 3-year vision come to fruition. We'll be launching in the second quarter of 2025. Being German, I've followed, you know, the legalization efforts in Germany. And recently this year, the German government has launched, has actually accepted the ability for consumers to, they made it nationally legal. So, you know, anyone over the age of 18 can have up to 3 plants. But, you know, here's the cool thing. It's actually regulated by the health ministry. So, you know, as opposed to people who kind of take bags of money in back rooms and it's all about the money. In this case, in Germany, it's really more about, you know, the belief that cannabis has therapeutic and medicinal value, the belief that individuals have the right to choose natural means in which they can help them feel better, you know, maybe self-medicate or whatever you want to refer to it as. You know, and in addition to that, you know, they do put some rather strict guidelines in terms of possession amounts and how much a person can buy. You have to become a member of a compassion club or a grow op in order to purchase it. And they have limits around it, like 50 grams per month and so on and so forth. But, you know, the interesting thing about it is that, you know, unlike here in the U.S. where we have these, you just like you have big pharma and big agriculture, we have big canna. And we have these, you know, I don't want to say nefarious characters, but we have these individuals who come in and try to dominate a market. They manipulate the price. They try to drive it down by driving up competition and so on and so forth. Whereas in Germany, what they've done is they've basically structured it so a small company like myself can create a grow op. So here's the unique element behind Yaweedy. Consumers are members of our grow op, actually are able to buy a plant in advance. So in other words, Vivian, those 3 plants are yours. And let me just sidebar for 1 second. One of the reasons why a lot of people will gravitate towards grow ops because the population of Germany being 84 million people in an area a little bit larger than the size of Michigan, where I'm currently based, or a little bit smaller than Montana, a lot of people live in multifamily dwellings. So, you know, I think the German culture is somewhere it's about privacy and respect of individual rights. And so as a result of that, a lot of people won't be able to grow at home. So what we'll do is set up a grow op where people buy their plants. We, in essence, become a service provider where we will have master growers who will grow those plants and, of course, give them their monthly allotment of 50 grams per month. And the economics work out so that, you know, the cost per gram is $5, which is actually less – or sorry, excuse me, 5 euros, pardon me. But it's less than what the actual German government set as the floor for the cost of grams, for example, if you had a medical card and bought it through the pharmacy. So the interesting thing here is that, in essence, we become a service provider. But as you know, and as many of the people listening know, that, you know, with 3 plants and being conservative, let's say harvest every 4 months, we're going to have a lot of overages. In other words, you know, as an individual, you'll get 200 grams in that 4-month period of time. But, you know, we'll probably have 600 plus grams, of which, you know, almost 500 grams will be, the math doesn't quite add up, but we'll have a significant amount of overages that we will then turn over to our compassion clubs. So every one of our grow ops will have 2 corresponding compassion clubs, kind of like it was here in Michigan in the early 2010s. And what we'll be able to do is basically carry that inventory at a significantly reduced cost, meaning that people who are part of the grow op will buy it for more than half the price of what you could get otherwise through Compassion Clubs. Members of our Compassion Clubs will be able to purchase their cannabis at roughly 20 to 25% cheaper than the competition. And if you are a grow op member and we take your overages to our Compassion Club, we will actually give you back a dividend. So in other words, if you prepay for your plant the first year, you're getting your cannabis at half the cost, high quality, lab tested cannabis, and then you'll also get a dividend. So in other words, it pays to give in our model. And then we were layering on a, you know, the crypto component, which in essence will create a digital economy where people can get even, you know, cheaper pricing. And in essence, I think the way to look at our Yaweedy token or our Weedy token, it's kind of like a loyalty program, except for it's global. So anyone can participate in our token. And that's the really cool thing about it. Lots of very unique elements around this. And the great thing about it is, given these 3 years of research, my attorneys in Germany are very formidable. The founder of our law, of the law firm representing us, is actually the official liaison for the government of Italy. So in other words, they have direct inroads into Berlin. Okay. They've reviewed our model with the health ministry, and they said, we like it.
Peter, you are a prolific pontificator, my brother, but we need to go to a break. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back.
I used too many words.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Peter Boehm. Peter, there's a lot of talk about crypto. Cannabis is still a nascent, emerging global market. It seems like you're kind of at the intersection of maybe two of what are perhaps the most rapidly growing and equally misunderstood industries around. What makes your model unique? How do you intend to create like market dominance in Germany? Because cannabis isn't really nearly as widely accepted there as the U.S.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. So, you know, a couple things. If you look at the Venn diagram between people who are crypto enthusiasts and pro cannabis, it's almost a perfect circle. So there's a massive overlap there. So there's familiarity surrounding, you know, both industries. And you're absolutely right. We really are, you know, at the convergence or the intersection of two of the fastest growing industries globally. The thing that, with respect to, you know, what makes our business model unique is that we're building an entire economy around our business model that offers consumers significant savings, exceptional value. People from anywhere in the world can participate because our Weedy token is global and it can be traded. We have monetization components that can incentivize people for participating. And frankly, one thing that we don't stress enough is that we have a charitable or a philanthropic component to this where, you know, here in the U.S., as I launched my cannabis ventures here, I noticed how many people were basically turning to cannabis because, frankly, they slipped through the cracks of the healthcare system, and so they're suffering from economic and medical hardship. So by virtue of introducing the Weedy token, we can actually allow token holders to stake tokens to not only help people get cannabis in a much more affordable manner in doing so. And again, it's about creating massive community, which I would think will help us achieve dominance, not only in Germany, but also throughout Europe and eventually bring it back to the United States. But also another aspect of this is being able to work with, it'll be able to allow us to generate funds so that we can work with Ayurvedic and naturopathic practitioners so that we can create botanical formulations inclusive of cannabinoids, but other botanical extracts that will be ailment specific. So the ultimate goal here is to give the consumer an option to replace their medicine chest with Mother Nature. And that's been a mission for the better part of the last 10 years.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You know, there are naysayers regarding the high-risk, high-reward system of digital currency in general and cryptocurrency specifically. What would you say to those who insist that crypto is a fad or is a rife environment for sophisticated Ponzi schemes? Why should people trust cryptocurrency as an investment strategy?
Well, and to a large degree, Vivian, those concerns are legitimate. Many ways when you say, how do you describe crypto? It's like, well, tell me, how do you describe air? But, you know, being 29 years old for the last, 31 or 32 years, I remember back in the early 90s, I was a pioneer in the emergence of the internet. In fact, I was one of the first people to bring on the old AOL, Prodigy, and CompuServe, bundles with the modem. So it is very early stage. The thing about the crypto economy is that it is largely unregulated. And as we know, it's the same thing in the cannabis industry as well, with the black market elements, the gray market elements, and even the legal side of the equation. There's still a lot of nefarious characters. There's not enough oversight and regulation. And so there's definitely legitimate concern. But the reality of the situation is that we have a real world asset. In other words, we're creating a crypto economy around a legitimate business. So all of these other tokens like the Doge and the Shibs and the Pepes and so on and so forth, there's no true intrinsic value. It's basically throwing a coin into this vortex of pure untethered capitalism, all based on speculation without any substance or utility behind it. We're doing the exact opposite. And it's interesting, a recent report came out by a research institute that suggested that, the real world asset components of the crypto economy are going to roughly be a $600 billion component of the currently $3 trillion industry in a matter of a couple of years. And a lot of these how do you just create money out of thin air? And frankly, to a large degree, that's what it is. And that also affords a lot of things like rug pulls and, again, a lot of nefarious characters. But when you create an economy that involves participation, like in our case, the Weedy token is almost like a loyalty program, like a Delta Airlines or American Express points, where you can we don't assign the value. The market assigns the value, but we can transact with that token, which incentivizes people to buy more of those tokens, and it creates an economy and the price goes up and we can have returns on those investments as well. And I'll give you an example briefly, if I may. We launched our Weedy token on September 11th. It had a market cap of $8,000. Just by virtue of our business strategy and the unique elements around it, as of this morning, our market cap is $1.1 million. In the grand scheme of things, the technical term, if I may, being a bit flowery in my language, it's mouse nuts. Some of these meme tokens are worth billions of dollars. But, to have done this in like 63 days, a dollar at the point of inception with Weedy is now worth $125. And so we're growing it methodically. We're spreading the word. We're doing a tiered approach in terms of expanding our message, evangelizing our business platform, and we're really building a solid foundation around a legitimate business that allows people from all over the globe to participate and reward themselves financially while also doing good, because this token will also allow us to launch this business and to help hopefully hundreds of thousands, if not eventually millions of people acquire cannabis as a viable alternative to other substances they use to self-medicate.
We've got about 3 minutes till the next break. Your path leading into the cannabis industry has been kind of unconventional. Were there challenges that you faced, and are there advantages from your experience in other industries that you're able to translate into the cannabis industry?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the funny thing is, so when I first got into the cannabis industry, I would show up in the meetings with suits and ties, and I would have these dudes looking at me, all tatted up. And of course I have tats too. You just don't see them. But the point being is I'd walk in and it kind of gave me that side eye glance, and a lot of people thought, okay, here's yet another carpetbagger. But what people don't realize is two things. You know, I put my first seed in the ground in 1978 when I was 2 years old. I'm kidding. I was a little bit older than that. You know, and the other thing is that my high school yearbook photo probably should have been a bong. But what really incentivized me to get into the cannabis industry was at the time around 2015, I was hired by a hedge fund to do some deep analytics on the migration and consumption behavior of the cannabis industry, where it's going, where the opportunities lie, and so on and so forth. And I became so enamored with it. And of course, my passion for the plant that I've carried with me my entire life inspired me to walk away from some, frankly, well-paying positions to go and throw my hat into the ring. And my mission was that, hey, no judgment. You know, if you want to get high, if you want to use it socially and recreationally, that's fine. But I'm a firm believer in the therapeutic and medicinal value of the plant. And, you know, what it allowed me to do, not only to expand and do R&D, because I know how to do R&D by working with practitioners, I know how to find those people. I expanded my portfolio into a terpene company. And in whether it be my CBD business, my cannabis business, my terpene business, I was always cheapest in the country. I'm a horrible marketer. I'll be the first one to admit that. You know, so I'm the diamond in the plain brown wrapper competing against the gift wrap turds. But the one thing that I did differently is that, and this is a discipline I learned through my many, many years in big box retail and even tech, is I use things like GMROI indexing. So it's basically gross margin return on investment. The cannabis industry is always keystone. In other words, every layer of the supply chain, everybody doubles their costs. So I'm able to do it, generate more revenues faster because it's based on my turn, and I'm able to offer the lowest prices in the country without sacrificing any bit of quality.
All right, we're going to go to another break and come back with our final questions for Peter Baum.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
All right, we are back with Peter Baum on Shark Tank. No, wait, it's Hemp Present. You've mentioned naturopathic and Ayurvedic medicine. Can you elaborate a little bit more? You kind of touched on the R&D aspect of your business, but tell us a little bit more about how the naturopathic and Ayurvedic medicine practitioners enter into all this.
Yeah, fantastic. Great question, and happy to expand upon that. But one real quick thing, you say Shark Tank.
Yes.
In 1992, I gave Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank his first big break. So, you know, I knew him when he was basically nothing. But anyway, let's get back to the question on the table, right?
Yeah.
So when I got into the terpene business, I got introduced to all these botanical extraction companies that did fragrances and flavors and, of course, terpenes that have been sold throughout the world. But also I got introduced to Ayurvedic practitioners. So in working with them, I said, here are some of the challenges that we have. And, you know, to a degree, they were also practicing Eastern medicine. And so a large component of what we do is we're working with Ayurvedic and naturopathic practitioners to develop ailment-specific formulations. And it goes beyond the cannabinoid. It's really that synergistic harmonious effect of all of these botanical extracts working in harmony to help us help our bodies. In other words, we have receptors. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of things like ashwagandha, damiana, the lotus plant, and so on and so forth. So it's not just limited to cannabis, but it really is looking at, you know, all the flora and fauna that Mother Earth provides us that our bodies align with, and we kind of vibrate at that same level. And it's something to help us that ranging from anything, we have to be careful with the FDA, of course, but anything that ranges from pain to anxiety to insomnia to neuropathy and all these different ailments. And, you know, I've been blessed, and I mean that with sincerity, to work with these brilliant, brilliant minds that can help us work with the right mixtures and formulas and dosing. And it gets even granular, Vivian, in the sense that even with our carrier oils and some of our CBD products, we use a blend of different carrier oils that are rich in omegas, they're all organic, but the body absorbs them and basically mimicking a time release. So in essence, as opposed to having the typical, you know, 4 to 6 hours with a 2 hour spike in terms of bioavailability and efficacy, we can extend that period of time so that a serving, I won't say dose, a serving of some of our products can last anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. And I'm incredibly proud of that. So
I want to add that ganja or charis, right? Cannabis, Ayurvedic means Indian origin medicine.
Yes.
And
yes.
There's like a 10,000-15,000 year history of cannabis as medicine in India. We're running out of time. If anybody wants to learn more about Yawidi, participate, et cetera, how do they go about that?
Well, we have a website, and it's called, and I'll spell it out if I may. It's yawidi.de. So it's JAWEED.DE. Another avenue is that you'll find the Yawidi on Telegram, like a lot of crypto companies are. I also have Yawidi, similar spelling, JAWEED at 420, sorry, Yawidi 420 on X. So I'm at Yawidi 420 on X. So the website, all the socials, we have a Yawidi page on Facebook. But, you know, we're still relatively new, so we're building our audience. But, you know, I have approximately 40,000 followers on LinkedIn and close to 5,000 on Facebook. And so we've been evangelizing that message and largely relying upon word of mouth. But I'm hiring a large PR firm at the beginning of next year to help further evangelize the good that we're doing and how we're combining this wild west of the crypto economy, putting some legitimacy around it and applying it towards good use and within the cannabis realm.
We got about a minute. In a minute, is how prevalent is cannabis in crypto generally?
You know, that's a hard question to answer. But I would say that, you know, there are a lot of these meme tokens, like, you know, again, the picture of the dog, you know, being the sheep and the doge and so on and so forth. So people have done some weed because there's a lot of what we refer to as degens. We'll call them the day traders who respond just to basically market trends. You know, they're happy if they make $100 a day, you know, buying and selling, kind of almost like day trading these tokens. So, but there's no intrinsic value. But, you know, we're different, but, you know, there is a huge correlation between cannabis enthusiasts and crypto enthusiasts. Again, that Venn diagram is almost a perfect overlap.
Good luck with your project, and thank you for being on the show, Peter.
Vivian, it's my pleasure. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Back at you, my friend. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music, Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. That's it today, folks. See you next time. Marijuana!
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money.